Welcome to the Rancho Marietta Community Service District Special Board Meeting, June 1st at 2 p.m. Item number one, Amelia, can you do roll call, please?
President Mabee.
Here.
Director Jenko.
Here.
Director Butler.
Here.
Director Merchant.
Here.
Director Polk.
Here.
Thank you.
Item number two, adopt agenda. Before I make a motion to adopt the agenda, meeting with staff, getting input from staff as most recently as this morning, I'm going to make a motion that due to the influx of folks here, as well as some letters that have been received, we're still in that process of verification, that I'm going to make a motion that we remove item number six from today's agenda, and we'll give direction to staff to reassess where we're at with an operating budget for the fiscal year 22-23. I don't know how soon that can be done. Minimally, an update the 15th of the month at our regular board meeting. So I'll work with the GM to get timelines and work it backwards from that standpoint. So point being, if we need a special board meeting, so be it. Otherwise, it'll be agendized on the monthly board meetings. So with that, I make a motion to adopt the agenda, removing item number six. Can I have a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you, Director Butler. Director, roll call vote, Director Mabee.
Aye.
Hold it.
Oh, wait.
You want to have some discussion?
Of course.
Sure.
Okay.
I'd like to hear where we're at with regard to the protest.
Go ahead.
So I'll do the best I can. We have a process where we're validating both the address, the account number, and against an account number, and the people who are signing the petitions. We've entered about 600 to this point. We received a group of about 1,000 to 1,400 yesterday. I just received what appears to be about 25 or 30 today. So my guess is we're going to end up with somewhere in the range of 1,600 or 1,500 total protest documents. And then I'm not sure where we end up with how many we have that are duplicates or multiple submissions for the same address with different signatures. So it's an arduous process. We received over 1,000 yesterday. And so we're in the process of validating them and entering them into our database. I think we'll be through this whole process next week. Eventually, they all become public documents, and we can publish a list of all the addresses that protested for people to go make sure their protests were received, because I know there's some concern of things getting lost in the mail or something like that. So that's where we're at.
To follow up, if I can, would you be able to break down what is a form letter versus what is an actual letter that was written to us specific to issues concerning the budget?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes.
Go ahead,
Mark. Yeah, I didn't think we should table these unless we knew that we had more protests than enough protests to stop the prior budget.
Well, the number is 1,380. Mm-hmm. And Paul, am I close? We believe we received about 1,600 submissions, and we're just working our way through.
I believe it's 1,560 is the total that we have right now.
Okay, and this is another.
I didn't get that. What was it?
1,560.
Mm-hmm.
It's
more higher than that. We delivered 1,400 alone yesterday, and 437 to the town hall.
Right.
We're well over 2,000 letters received.
Okay.
And that doesn't count any that you received directly.
Okay. That's fine. It we'll have that count when we're done counting. We'll know that number. So if you say 2,000, I'll go with that for now.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Director Pohl, any other questions?
Nope.
Not seeing or hearing any.
Well, wait. What are we not knowing that count? There's really nothing we can do. Am I correct in that assumption? What is it? precisely that, what are the options here?
So, Director Merchant, in terms of the Prop 218 hearing today, the board can have item 7, the Prop 218 public hearing, and close the public hearing, which stops the submission of protests at that point. But the district can then take whatever time it needs to actually make sure it's processed all of the protests appropriately and counted them. And if that takes a couple days, a week, that's all allowed. And then we would come back to the board to discuss the status of the protest at a future meeting.
So then it really, does it make sense to introduce a resolution approving a budget that may be a moot point anyway?
Mm-hmm. No.
So the fees and charges that are proposed as part of item 7 can't be passed today if we don't have resolution on the protest. But today is only first reading on the budget. So technically you could take first reading on the ordinance, rather, not the budget, the ordinance, and move it on to a second reading for the June 15th meeting. But you wouldn't be able to act on it today either way.
So how would you treat security tax and drainage tax in that scenario?
Yeah. Those two items are not subject to the Prop 218
right, that's
protest.
Item 7. Yeah.
Okay. So by keeping item 7 on the agenda, we can go ahead and clear those items.
You can.
Okay.
On the first reading of the
yeah, items. Gotcha. Okay.
So which then we could act on it the 15th at our next board meeting.
That's correct.
Okay.
On water and, I mean on sewage, on drainage and security?
Right, which would be item 7.
Yeah.
We would accept it now, which is the max 2% mm-hmm. by the statute. And then action could be taken June 15th, because that would be the second reading, specific to measures J and K. Anything else, Director Janko?
Nope.
Okay. Amelia, there was a motion.
And then Linda seconded it, if okay. I remember. We're ready to have a roll call vote, friends?
Could you repeat the motion?
My motion is to adopt the agenda with the removal of item number 6.
So what does that do to public comment and item 7?
So item 7 would remain on the agenda, and you would still have the public hearing for item 7, and the public could address those items.
Today.
Okay.
Okay, great. Roll call vote. Director Mead.
Aye.
Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Yes.
Director Merchant.
Yes.
Director Pohl.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amelia. Item number 3, public comments. Do we have anybody that has comments? There's got to be somebody out of the group that wants to say something. And just to make sure that everybody understands what just took place, we are basically tabling the fiscal budget 22-23 cycle, given direction to staff to look at a new budgetary number, and that'll be brought back to the board. I don't know if we'll have it by the 15th realistically, but on or about we'll have a better timeline, I guess, is the best I can ask. So very good. Last chance on public comment not related to items on the agenda.
Not related to the agenda? I have something on protest letters.
Come on up. Why not? Gosh darn it.
You want me an hour later?
Well, I don't know where later would be. So now's good. The appropriate time.
So Nicole Williams, resident of the South. I did want to talk about the process for capturing the protest letters. So when we delivered some protest letters yesterday afternoon to the wonderful ladies at the front desk, there were some rejected letters that were provided to us, and we have some concerns about the way in which some of these letters are being rejected. So it is, I'll happily hand these back. I have a protest letter right here. It has an address written in red at the bottom. Red is written by a member of CSD,
It has an account number written in red at top, which tells me that it was very easily able to determine that this protest letter belongs to an account, yet it was in a stack to be rejected. The note at the bottom here is a address again in red, and the address is on the back of the form. So this is a complete, as far as I can tell, this is a complete valid protest letter that was being rejected. I have six others of similar nature. Account number at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Completely obvious to me that CSD is able to determine who this comes from. And all of these have been corrected anyways. So whatever the concern was, which I would argue is not a valid concern, has been rectified with adjustments. So I want to enter that into record that we have some significant concerns about how these letters are being rejected. And I'd like to understand the process for rejection, please.
That's your question?
Yes.
I'll kick it to the general manager, and then if Mr. Ramos needs to add anything.
We'll go through the process.
Yeah.
From my understanding, if the letter has incorrect address or a signature that we can't validate belongs to that account, then it goes into a rejected status.
Okay.
So for these where it has an actual full address on it, then why was it rejected? That's what I'm not understanding.
If you
want to take a peek, I'm happy to share it with
you.
Yeah,
I haven't seen it.
Well, if you're going to give it to us, then I'll have staff review those. And if they meet the criteria that was just spoken, then obviously they count in the process.
Okay.
So I don't know if that meets your needs, wants, or desires. But.
Yeah, the other question I have is I just want to verify, Tom, you had said earlier that there would be some sort of a process for us to look at the rejected letters after the fact.
Yes.
The concern with that is that if the timeline, and this is an education point for me, if the timeline is now closed where things cannot be submitted and we disagree with the letters that are rejected as we do with these in hand, what is the next step from there?
I guess maybe I wasn't clear. There is no timeline specific to, unless I'm mistaken, to this issue at hand, because we pulled it off, so that would stop the process effective today.
So the Prop 218 process and public hearing is item 7 on the agenda, and at the close of item 7, when you gavel down the end
right.
of the public hearing, that would be the cutoff for submitting protests
right.
per the notice that went out. So that's still on the agenda, and
it's not you. And you're fine. Stay there. Thank you, Amelia. Historically, we don't limit the attorney to the 3 minutes.
But it's probably a good idea.
I'm going to stop the recording, so don't say anything. Recording again.
I think it's your alarm thing, Amelia.
No,
no. The alarm here went off. It was set, the button, right up there.
Oh, the alarm went off. My goodness. I'm sorry, everybody.
It's actually a hearing test, so those that did hear it passed.
Well, I just got 100 minutes, so I'm good now.
Right. So I would grab some more letters, and we'll go through them one by one. I'm more than okay with that.
I got to tell you, I didn't know that the alarm off. No more alarm.
So as you were saying, Mr. Ramos.
The end of the time for submitting protests will be today at the end of item
right.
7. But to the extent that there's a review of the protests after
yeah,
the fact,
yeah, that's going to continue.
That right. will continue both by CSD staff, and if the public wishes to view the protests once
right.
they have been tabulated, that can happen. And if
right.
that review finds any protests that should have been counted but were not,
perfect.
We'll address that.
So I guess I have 2 points. One, thank you for volunteering to work with staff on the rejected letters.
Happy to.
Right, and the other young lady, then I would say you two contact the GM. It doesn't have to be right now or what have you, but just state that you want to see that, and so once we get done with the accounting process, then whatever stacks we have, then you can take a look at from that standpoint, because you heard that I was asking, and it's probably an old number. I know we're over 24 that people actually wrote in and had concerns and gave us direction on what to do, as opposed to just a form letter, checking boxes, all those other things. So you'll be able to see those as well in the process. So I don't know when that gets reported out. I don't know if it just is an FYI. It gets posted on the website. We'll figure that out.
So the plan is, when all is said and done, we've gone through all the letters, we will post on the FAQs that we currently have for the Prop 218, we will post a spreadsheet of all the addresses that submitted a protest letter, whether it be a form or an actual letter.
Right.
We will also put in a PDF that you can review all the letters.
Okay.
And the ones that are rejected, if you want to come in and explain to us what we should have caught that we didn't catch. And in this case, it looks like we caught the errors and we returned them to you to look at. So that process is, we've never gone down this far down this path. And so that might be something we need to establish sort of a dialogue within our department to make sure that the ones that we reject, we really can't figure out what it is that they mean. And if somebody's just transposed a number or something like that, and we can easily figure it out, I don't see why we wouldn't accept it, okay? But again, all that'll be posted on the website when we're done. So I've already got one public records request act, Annie, and from that, I'm gonna put it on the webpage. So everybody can see, you can look at your address and you can make sure that you submitted a letter and that it was counted. And if you submitted a form, you'll know that it was a form.
Thank you.
Sure. Does that meet what you were asking?
I'll take those.
We're going to look at this again.
Thank you.
Okay, last, best, final public comment for items not on the agenda. Okay, moving on to item number four.
There's somebody in the
back.
Oh. I guess I need a teleprompter, so I'm not looking down. Yeah, exactly. Come on down. Yes, sir.
My name is Pat Reeves, and I live on the north. And I'm curious, what kind of performance measurement indicators do you have for upper level management positions?
Run that question by me again,
what
one more time.
What kind of upper level management indicators do you have for performance for those particular jobs?
Upper management performance
indicators. Every job should have an indicator with parameters to meet specifications for their awards, their raises, and the rest of it. What are yours?
Off the top of my head, I don't know. I'd have to go back to the job descriptions of those so that when we do evaluations, it's compared to what the job description and tasks are. So off the top of my head, that's...
Management by objectives for results.
Are you looking for a process? Is that what you're looking for?
You define a process, then mm-hmm. you put parameters on that process and see how well the individual performs against
it. So in other words, every year.
Right. So I don't know. Are you talking like the annual?
Annual. You can do it monthly.
Well, I understand. We have some employees because we've had to take personnel action, so it's more frequent, et cetera, et cetera.
Exactly.
Unless you want to answer something different.
I can answer that.
Sure.
And it's on our webpage. It's deemed the pay for performance program. And if you look it up in the webpage, you can read all about it. It clearly defines goals and objectives throughout the year. There's a scale of percentage or point setting, and then the point setting has a range of what the pay increase can be.
Evaluation?
Well, for the UNREP employees, I have direct reports. I do their evaluations, and for the direct reports of my staff, they do their employees' evaluations. We don't provide those. Those are personnel related issues.
What did you say I could find?
Look up pay for performance on the website. Yeah.
Okay.
It's been passed by the board many years ago.
Specific to a job description?
Mm-hmm. Excuse me,
yes.
Say that again.
Are they specific to a job description?
Yeah.
For the represented employees, the evaluations are pretty much specific to a job position. For the unrepresented employee, it is based upon the goals that are established during the annual evaluation period, as well as the job description.
So who are the employees?
The what? The UNREP employees?
Yeah.
Michael Fritchie, he's unrepresented. Kelly Benitez is unrepresented. Paula O'Keefe is unrepresented.
That's
unrepresented.
The upper level management.
Amelia? Yeah.
Correct.
And then three of our staff, our sergeant and patrol and security, our operations, our field operations, supervisor of field operations and supervisor of utilities.
So basically a handful of employees.
I think it's eight.
Eight.
Yeah.
So I will research and get back with you.
Okay. If you have any questions in the meantime, please reach out to the general manager directly.
Actually,
don't wait for a board meeting, or if you have that.
No. I will review that and see.
Yeah, if it doesn't answer it, then we can give you better direction or answer those questions that aren't addressed there.
I hate to bring up old business, it just seems
you got 3 minutes,
there's a lack of management being performed in those offices here at CSD.
I'll take your comment, there we go.
Down the road, excuse, doesn't hold water. It really doesn't. So, to place upon the public drastic raises in performance for these people, I'd surely like to know what their ratings were and how are they rated. So, that's my concern.
We don't give
up. Understand. All right.
Did you give us your name so I can look for
it? Patrick Reeves.
Patrick Reeves. Thanks, Patrick.
And like I said,
and thanks for joining us.
I have no idea.
Yeah, and that's fine. But again, take a look at it on the website, and then if it doesn't answer it enough, reach out to the general manager.
Thank you guys.
All right, thank you. Come on down. I looked up this time.
Crystal Matter. I don't know my lot number. Quick question. There's some significance placed on form letters versus non-form letters, and I was wondering if the board could identify the significance and why we would distinguish between a form letter and not a form letter with respect to the protest.
Well, it was me that asked it, so I'll tell you what my thought process was. The form, and I haven't seen the form letter. It's at my house. I haven't opened it. It is what it. And I think I missed the window. So I don't know what the form letter says. Yeah, exactly. If you can get me one, I can fill it out. In the past, and so I'll pick on last year's process, we had a little over 100 letters that were sent to us. And some were very specific. And some were line item to where they identified specific issues as opposed to everything is bad, there's nothing good at CSD. So my question to the GM was, is that increasing from last year, if that's a benchmark, versus the form letter that's coming in? Now, are they counted any different? I don't think so. Is there any value to them being counted differently? There isn't. It's just a benchmark for me to see and get that feedback when they're talking line items or specific issues as opposed to everything's bad at CSD. So I don't know if that answers your question. I'm not going to speak for the board, but I was the one that asked that.
I just wanted to make sure that the form letters would be counted the same as the non-form letters.
Well,
by the same criteria.
Right. Yeah. Let me make sure I didn't say something out of turn. I believe I didn't say that. I believe I asked for 2 stacks. So the attorney made it very clear, the process. The GM validated that. So I don't know anything more to tell you than that.
Okay. So it won't be counted any differently?
No.
That's correct.
Yeah. For a third correct. Or fourth time. Yeah. I don't know another way of saying it.
Thank you.
Sure.
I appreciate it.
Okay. Anybody else? There's got to be somebody. All right, moving on to item number 4. Consider adoption resolution appointing hearing officer for employee R. Tompkins termination appeal hearing. Is that Paula or is that the GM?
Or Andrew.
Or I guess it could be. 3 minutes, Mr. Ramos.
I think I can do it in one.
One question. Andrew, that this is about appointing me. You want me in here? You want me out of here?
You can definitely stay, Director Merchant, because okay. If you vote against it, then we should know if you don't want to do it.
Right. Okay.
So per your employee handbook, when an employee appeals a termination, the board has a number of options for hearing that appeal. It can be heard by the full board. Can be heard by an appointed director or other person. The resolution before you today proposes to appoint Director Merchant to hear an appeal by an employee who's proposed for termination and has appealed his termination. If you accept the resolution, then I will work with Director Merchant to schedule the appeal hearing at an opportune time for all the parties. And then once that hearing is held, the matter will come back to you for a final decision and a proposed decision offered by Director Merchant and me.
Okay. Does that answer your question? So I'm going to make a motion, then we can have further discussion. I make a motion to adopt the appointment via resolution for the appeal hearing. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Director Jacob.
Further discussion. Any questions, Director Cole?
Nope.
Work my way down, Janko, Butler. You already had your opportunity.
Hi. I'd like to suggest you appoint a neutral arbitrator to lead this hearing. I seriously question whether Mr. Tompkins will get a fair hearing by a director. I was here for the hearing for Gamal and Sari, and what I heard there, I was not impressed with. I mean, it was like he got railroaded. And I think there shouldn't be any question about whether an employee here gets a fair hearing. And I don't think there's any disadvantage to having a neutral arbitrator as opposed to a director. And I think I don't see how anybody could object to that. And I think one of the primary objectives here is to give employees a fair hearing, treat them fair. Thank you.
So we have a motion. It was seconded. Can we have a roll call vote?
Director Maybe.
Aye.
Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Aye.
Director Merchant.
Yes.
Director Polk.
Aye.
Thank you.
And so for the murmur out in the crowd, for item number four, there's a established process. You heard the attorney say it's a handbook. This is just this phase of the district. There are multiple processes that are afforded to the employees moving forward. So we're limited to what our processes are at this point. Item number five, but before I get to item number five, Michael, I want to pick on one of your employees. Last week, and I only know the gentleman, Ed, and I'm assuming he didn't put somebody else's shirt on, so it was a CSD shirt. I was going down the parkway, a elderly couple, the woman was steering the golf cart, what I presumed husband was pushing the golf cart up the hill towards the country club. And before I could turn around, the two CSD employees had pushed the golf cart all the way up to Gibson Golf Cart Repair. When I got to the husband, who then told me he was 91 years of age, quite honestly, that could have been a coronary event for that man trying to push it. So again, and I don't know who the other gentleman was with Ed. They had no idea who I was. I just thanked them. There was another resident in the community that was very thankful that they in fact did that. So that's all I have on it, but thank you. So moving on to
the other gentleman was Keith Tanner. He's a temp that we have here working in Somia.
And like I said, it's one of those when we do the right thing, which you folks do all the time, it's unrecognized, but it was duly noted because they were thinking the same thing I was. That was going to be a very difficult physical task for a 91-year-old, but I
will meet with them both and tell them.
Please, thank you on my behalf as well as the boards and the community. Item number five, consider adoption resolution honoring Ryan Winker. Do you have a copy of that resolution by any chance?
I did not print it on the nice paper, so I will give it to him. You've got it.
I'll just do, and Ryan, hello.
Ryan, stand up.
And so, yeah, actually. Now, I will tell you, he looked a lot different at the incident. Two parts here. Gail, thank you for writing about the accident, what he did. I appreciate that. Ryan, again, we just met. Our encounter when I first got there was, I'll leave the verbiage out, but was appropriate. Again, as I kind of told you there, and I'll tell you again here, on behalf of the board, thank you. Just what you might think is nothing actually did a whole lot for that man.
I don't really think I did anything until you guys, you and your wife came along, so you and your wife were the ones who gave him help. So it was.
I understand that, and I appreciate that, but understand my humble experience of 30 plus years as a first responder, sometimes we're not always the first responder. And by you just getting them into the position where I found them, probably saved the man's life. And then keeping the barbed wire off of them until we could really get the resources there was totally appropriate. So with that, we'll probably do another photo op with all the whereases once I get it signed for you. But basically, this is what it says, folks. Resolution 2022-14. Whereas Ryan began employment, Rancho Marietta Community Service District, May 12, 2018, as Plant Operator 1. Whereas Ryan was promoted Plant Operator within the district. Whereas Ryan has been part of the success of the Rancho Marietta Community Services District. Whereas, I only got two more whereases to go. Ryan has endeared himself to many friends, acquaintances within the district. Whereas Ryan brought respect and honor to the Rancho Marietta for his act, bravery, selflessness. And again, you may not see it that way, but at the end of the day, we had a victory, and I'll take that all the time. Now, therefore, be it proclaimed on this first day, June, in the year 2022, that the Board of Directors, Rancho Marietta Community Service District, recognizes, appreciates, commends Ryan for his bravery, self-act to the community and to the district. So on behalf of that, Ryan, because I was there, I get it. I won't hold you to the names that you and adjectives you called me when I arrived. So with that, a round of applause for Ryan. And oh, by the way, you don't have to say for this.
I apologize for if I called you names.
Well, you made up for a lot of people that think that otherwise. So, item number 7. I'm sorry. Item number 7. Yeah. Public hearing to introduce ordinance 02022-1, increasing water, sewer, liquid waste service charges, storm drainage, and security taxes. I don't know if we're going to the GM on this.
Yeah, I've got this one, Tim. First of all, based on the earlier action, we will be removing the fee adjustments in this ordinance, which are related to water, sewer, and solid waste charges. And so the recommended action is to approve the increases in the two special taxes. And that is for security via measure J and drainage via measure K. And by rule of law, with those measures, we can increase those a maximum of 2% per year. And so we can go through all the reasons for proposed rate increases, but for security and for drainage, the special tax does not come near the cost of providing the, both of those services. So talking about the particulars, I can just tell you that drainage is going up 2% as per Measure K, and security fees are going to go up 2% if approved, as required by Measure J. And then, of course, we're tabling for now the salt, is that the right word, tabling? We're the salt charges for solid waste, mm-hmm. which are going up, but we aren't collecting the actual cost. We're not adjusting the cost for water or sewer because we're tabling those charges. And so water and sewer will not then, of course, meet their cost of service. The result of that is probably an allocation of property taxes to keep those budgets square mm-hmm. going forward. So I'm prepared to answer any questions that you might have. And otherwise, this is a motion or a resolution?
This is an ordinance. We're just introducing the ordinance.
So we introduce the ordinance today and the right. next meeting.
And then, so we have our presentation by staff. The board president will open the public hearing for public comment. Whenever you're ready, sir.
Yep. We're good from your end on what Jan said?
Yes.
I'm going to open up item number 7, which is going to be specific to, once the motion is made, measures J and K, which are the 2% increase. Any public comments? Anybody?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I think I have comments. I should mention in advance that I have a problem I can't hear. For a long period of time, I thought I had a virus. I finally went to an ENT and he said, no, you've got a fungus. And then the treatment for a fungus is to stick stuff in your ears so you can't hear. And that's where I'm at.
Then you do all the talking. We'll do the listening.
Will you tell us your name now, even though we know who you are? For the record?
Pardon?
Your name for the record? Your name.
Oh, the name for record is, I'm sorry, I forget the protocol.
It's okay.
I've only been here for, 30 years.
try 40.
Yeah. Well, 1978, how long ago was that? That's when I came.
That's 44 years.
Okay. What was that? What I'm going to say is simply just a warning. In other words, that there's real jeopardy in the tax and real serious risk of being challenged. The most recent example of that is the ruling that just came down against the Florin County Water District, where what seemed like a relatively innocuous situation was held to be basically lack of adequate support to approve the particular tax. And it was a water patch, just like this one we're dealing with today. So where do I begin? I mean, the in this particular case, it involved one of the new fatal weapons in challenging attacks like this. Let me see if I can put it together. The issue was whether or not the district had satisfied the requirement that the new charge was absolutely required for the service and wasn't another use. And for just minor evidence, or just maybe inadequate evidence, the district lost. But when I see things in the paper that say that $160,000 is going to security from what would otherwise be available for other services, particularly for water and sewer. That's an issue. Let me backtrack it and let me tell you what the general situation has been, both here in times long past and in other parts of California. The problem is that you're always facing a vote. There's one way to get around it, and that's to say that what you're asking for is water, sewer, or solid waste. Those are the three categories in which you're not subject to the situation where someone could come in and say, okay, we're challenging your tax. That can be done by a board alone. Everything else, unless it meets extremely strict standards, goes to the community.
Your time is up, sir.
That's fine. Go ahead, sir.
Pardon?
Continue on.
Keep going?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay. Oh, the timer. I'm so out of it. So over the hill. Okay. There are a couple of other very technical areas in this that I'm not sure that it would be helpful for me to say, because you have to read them more or less in order to I have an additional issue, and that issue is that I don't really know what's going on here anymore. You know, I haven't been here for many years, and so I can't identify what all the problems are. But the issue of this special vulnerability for water, wastewater, and
trash.
Yeah.
Solid waste.
Trash.
Mm-hmm.
Waste are a real problem. I can tell you some of the other things that where you have a problem, and basically it involves really old stuff. What was going on when we were acquiring the services from the El Dorado Irrigation District. In connection with that, we inherited it through negotiations and ultimately through a court judgment. Their money that they got, their money, a slice of regular property tax revenues. That slice of property tax revenues will also be used against you to show you that you don't really need this particular tax. There are a number of cases on that. I could go on, but all I have to say is that there's a lot of stuff out there that's up to 30 years old that is going to be a problem unless you comply strictly with the rules. And let me tell you one of the major reasons for the confusion of the rules. There's one set of rules that applies to cities and counties, mm-hmm. where they can simply, they don't have to worry about whether or not this particular pile of money actually fits perfectly with that particular service. But CSDs and other special districts do. And that is probably over the whole range of the other issues that I am not raising, that it probably be incoherent if I tried to discuss them. Going to be the problem that you have an obligation to meet. And right up, hot off the press, this Florin Water District case will show you just exactly how nasty it is. The 218, which of course is the thing that infects all the various sections of the Constitution that apply to this. The major cause of problems with it is that it has such a short deadline on how much you can increase the tax in the future. And you're constantly running into it, and you're either in situations like you face now, or you've got a very difficult situation of doing something that works, that isn't subject, is not subject to challenge. Because it almost says you've got to do it for this year and forget about the future. It's not realistic to enact a tax that's only going to be there for a year. But there's not much you can do about it, and I do believe someone should talk to me about what went on for the El Dorado Irrigation District in the early years of the CSD, because that's where there may be some legal problems that you have that aren't obvious to anyone here today, even if they really are on top of it, because you know the way that the financing was set up years and years ago. That's all I have to say. It's just a heads up, and I probably haven't given you any information that will help you solve these problems, but you should be aware that they're out there.
Thank you. Dick, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Grant.
So I'll talk to you since you probably won't hear me. I know that you chatted with him specifically on some of the items, except for this water, foreign water case.
In context, here's where we are. And let's use round numbers to make it easy. If CSD is at a point where we're operating with an $8,500,000 budget, almost exactly 25% of that budget, or very close to $2 million at this point, is dedicated to security. The 1997 Measure J tax that the voters, me included, approved, stipulated a very rigid set of conditions that we would meet and what services we would provide and what annual increases we could take against that initial allocation. Back in 1997, I believe it was about $687,000, off of which the base of 2% rolling annual increase has gotten us to the point, round numbers, where we're in a period where you're getting about $1.2 million in taxes. We supplement that $1.2 million, especially in this coming year, if everything works out, with about $600,000 of our property tax allocation. The property tax allocation is an established percentage, very, very minimal percentage, that the county gives us back to use towards, as Dick was referring to, basic services to operate the district. That's not what the voters said when they voted for Measure J. The voters for Measure J were told in the promotional materials that we were moving into a 218 condition because the state had mandated we do so, and from that point on we would take that base, $687,000, we would take 2% on an annual basis, and we would provide gate operations 7/365, 24 hours a day in each gate, and we would provide one officer on patrol. As we went through the years, the cost of doing business did not keep up with what we were collecting on the tax. About 10 years ago, we started supplementing it with property tax income, and I think what Dick is making a point here is valid in two ways. Number one, it may be illegal,
And it is really time for Dick and Mr. Shanahan or Andrew to get together and come to some consensus on what we need to do here. And it also, back to what I made the statement before, was not what the voters said we were supposed to do. What's happened to us is, and part of what you're seeing as a result of this protest against particularly the section where we were trying to increase our reserves, is we are taking $600,000 of what should be reserve money for water, sewer, and solid waste, which is a pass-through. And in addition, I think they also allow drainage at this point. While we have a tax, I think it's now legal to allocate that money to drainage. But by giving that money essentially to prop up security, we're creating this shortfall in reserves that we have to make up in some way, shape, or form. We are reserving against what now is $55 million in assets, okay? It was a luxury. I was the president of the CSD when Dick was our attorney back in 2006. And in those days, our infrastructure, particularly what is under the ground, was about 25 years younger. And like me, it has aged substantially since that point, and there's a lot of stuff that needs attention. So the elephant in the room in this entire discussion over the budget and how much of an increase we've suggested really comes down to security in one way, shape, or form. And had we voted on item six today, I would have voted against it because I want the security issue resolved. And I want it resolved from the standpoint that RMA is in a position where they make the rules. To some degree, they offer compliance. And they also have the back end of what is some kind of a court system that they establish and collect the fines from the people who violate the CCNRs. So the only thing they don't do is the security aspect, because back in 1984, when there was great concern with RMPI and the pension trust fund that they would renege on their commitment to pay security fees. In those days, we didn't have a tax. The safety valve was to transfer it to the CSD. And by transferring it to CSD, they could say, well, if you don't pay your security fees, we're going to turn off your water. That's why it got here. So through the years, when we started this and we had Jim Noller and we had 1,500 people living here with one gate, we've morphed into where we have 5,903 people, two gates, 24-hour-a-day security operation in two places that makes contact with 160,000 people a year. Now, as we grow and we are finally in a stage of development, that 160,000 people is going to grow to 250,000 contacts a year unless something in the system changes. Okay? Hi, I'm here to play golf. Hi, I'm here to see Aunt Martha. I'm here for whatever reason. We are stopping and screening those people on a day-to-day basis. So the whole system has outgrown itself. And I think it's really time to ask the question, what's it doing here? I mean, why shouldn't it be back with the RMA? It's kind of a womb-to-tomb system. I mean, they're making the rules. They're making the rules, and they're enforcing the rules. And the only thing we're doing, and Mr. Hart's been making this point for quite some time, is all this talk about contract security. Well, if we're going to go to a contract security system, why does it matter who administers the contract? And if you're going to do it that way, and we haven't decided this, but if you're going to do it that way, it's going to take you a hell of a lot more money to do it here than is to do it over there. So there's the dilemma.
Let me tell you how we got there. basically, Department of Real Estate had a requirement for FBI to contribute to the services out here for a period. They paid half the cost of security and the residents the other half. When the time ran out, they said, we quit. We're not paying you anymore. And RMA simply could not provide security. This was after Prop 13 and before 218. And it was, what should I say? Wild hunts.
The Wild West.
What we did is the CSD stepped in. I stepped in. We held a, at that time, all you had to do as a special agency was hold a meeting and impose a tax. So we held a meeting, we imposed a tax, and taxed RMPI 50% and the residents 50% just like anything before. They were stunned that we could do that. That's why you've got 218, it's because people like that. I'm one of the guilty, one of the people who caused that to happen.
Thank you.
Okay.
Tim, just
go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Keep talking. We want to hear what you have to say.
Oh, keep talking. All right. So that's where 218 came from, because what we were basically doing was imposing all kinds of taxes because you could do that. In other words, that's where government entities, CSDs, from CSDs to counties and cities, made up the property tax they lost by Proposition 13. All right, going back after the CSD funded it, they decided we'll take some of those security people on. The reason being is that the management over there at RMA was still, the top of it was still RMPI, even though they weren't paying. Besides that, we sent Jim Noller out, and he talked to everyone, talked to CSDs and that had security around the state of California, and came back and said, I got a great deal for you. There's such a thing as a limited peace officer. A limited peace officer can only operate at his particular job. In other words, a limited peace officer in Rancho Murrieta would be a peace officer only in Rancho Murrieta. But if you do that, if you transfer security from RMA to the district, what you can do is get law enforcement. So we checked it out. And the California Legislative Council said they're absolutely right, we got all legal opinions saying, yeah, you can have limited peace officers, you can have your cake and eat it too, you can have, private security costs with law enforcement. Didn't work. Actually, it worked fine for about a couple of weeks. We had the security of CSD. Ticketed people and sent them down to municipal court, and they were convicted. And then Glenn Craig, the head of county security,
sheriff,
whatever you call it, law enforcement, and former head of the who's the head of
Highway Patrol.
I do this sometimes.
Okay.
When that happened, basically, we were told that, sure, you can set up. You've got law enforcement authority in the district, but you can't have officers. So what we were stuck with was a staff, a security staff, that were paid like they could arrest and enforce law, but couldn't. And so we were paying them, instead of having our cake and eating it too, we were getting eating and not getting the cake. And that's where you are today. That's gone on for 20 years.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons why the consideration of maybe you want RMA to do some of this.
Yeah.
Comes from.
Come on up, Ted. I have one more point, but come up anyway. Well, I'm sorry, I'm running your meeting.
Yeah, we've pretty much run the limit on this. Mr. Hart, please.
Yes. Ted Hart, 825. Since you've heard from all the old folks, I thought I might as well join John and Dick, since I've been here for 47 years. But point being is, I'd like to offer my opinion and suggestions for your consideration. The security is the number one problem. I mean, we've already heard all about it. We can go back and verify it. We've already covered the issue of funding for the bridge that belonged to the reserves that were over to take care of security. The proposed increases that are shown, not necessarily here, but wages up 14%, the employer benefits up 12%, and PERS pensions up 13%. That's 39%. So we're looking at also the $4 million in pension unfunded liabilities. So to ask for $66 per month increase is obviously, and has been now shown, it's unacceptable to the community. So I'm looking at it through your eyes. So the ratepayer looks at it as one payment. All this issue as to whether it's out of solid waste or security or whatever it is, you got one pocketbook, and you're paying that money. And what's looked at right now is $66. You're looking at it right at the present moment as just the water issue and all of that. But the community looks at it as they really don't care whether it's water, security, doesn't make any difference. This is how much is coming out of my pocket every month. So you need to establish an amount that's okay or acceptable to the community. You're going to have to figure that out. And please, no more expensive surveys. I've had enough surveys, okay? The board needs to take action now to fix it. That's really part of the message. You just can't keep kicking the can down the road. I'm not blaming just this board, okay? But in other words, this issue has been around, as Dick has explained and John's explained, and I understand, for a long time. But if we don't take care of it now, it's just going to double in cost. We're going to find ourselves here 5 years from now paying twice as much. So my recommendation, suggestion to you, you suggest that you meet with OE3 and basically say to them, we all have a problem here. And we need your help in figuring out how we're going to correct it. And the private security is a known entity in the sense of how much money it's going to save. You know, like a broken record, $900,000 a year every year. But you just can't continue with business as usual. And I always look at this as a private businessman. Or we'll be out of business in a few years. That's really what it boiled down to. So I'm suggesting to you that put on hold any action moving forward, which you're already doing, and cancel any contracts that you've got with all these people who are providing surveys. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Hart. I'm going to ask if you can brief, which is going to be hard for you.
I know.
But
it
how
is.
About if we have it real brief? This is a discussion on measures J and K, not a referendum on where the board's going on security, because that's already been decided by the board.
The last point I had to make was based on the fact that We're eating up $600,000 a year in property tax allocation to subsidize security. At the same time, providing a service as a contractor to the Rancho Murrieta Association that, and at the same time talking about doing surveys and polls to find a way to come to some accommodation where we increase the security tax. My question would be at this point, based on the fact that the primary customer, and we do some work across the street, but the primary customer of the CSD security is the RMA, why is the relationship with the RMA, at the very least, if you're not transferring it or you're not looking for other ways to finance security in the community, at the very least, why is that relationship with the RMA not fee-based? I mean, why are we doing things for them that we don't charge for?
I would tell you we've kind of hit our outer limit on the Measure JK.
Okay.
But I understand what you're saying.
Right.
Because that is actually going to be brought up on the June 15th board meeting. But I hear you. Just, I don't know how, oh, please, come on up.
A quick point of clarification on the Measure J and security issue. And Tom, if you have that spreadsheet, I'd really like for you to put it up for people to see. It's the same one I brought up at the security town hall last year. You have a spreadsheet that identifies the amount of money collected for Measure J and the amount of money it costs to pay all the pay and benefits for patrol and security. And I'm betting there's a pretty big surplus since we don't have very many people in the security department, and since we are now out of a sergeant position and we haven't filled a whole lot of the shifts. You've collected all of our money, but you have not provided that service. So what we're talking about is not the cost of providing security, and you and I discussed this at length, is the cost of the admin overhead. I understand that admin has been allocated to all of these departments, and pursuant to a survey that you had done a couple years ago, I think security was increased to like 32% or 31%. And at the time, you didn't have as many contract security officers. I would assume that if you have an outside agency that is handling all of our security officers, save for a few, you're not spending as much time on security anymore. So that allocation should go way down. But my concern is, if you have an admin allocation, that's only going to continue to go up the more we increase the wages and the benefits and everything else. And I'm totally game for talking about other potential solutions, but if you pass on security to RMA, there's still the admin overhead allocation, and that's just going to get reallocated to all of the other departments, which is going to drive up the cost of providing water and sewer and everything else, because the admin costs don't go away.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, they do.
So not to belabor anything, I don't know how many of you have copies. If you don't have a copy of this, I would implore you to ask staff to get it.
And I'll post it as soon as the meeting's over.
Perfect, thank you. I would have printed it off at home in black and white, to be honest with you.
There's some more back there, too.
My point is, property tax is at $775,000. Director Merchant said $600,000 of the property tax. So that leaves us $175,000 of funds that are unallocated that we get in property tax. Just somebody could do that percentage, and it's pretty gross. The other item I'd like you to just take a look at, where it says expenditures, we have wages, salaries at 43%. We've had discussion at this board. We've had our attorney weigh in. There is the cost of doing business, and it's administrative overhead. We can agree to disagree. At the end of the day, we're bound by certain audit procedures and accepted practices, and that's in fact what the district has done, especially when we have to adopt our annual audited review document. Anybody else have anything else to say on measures J or K? All right, not seeing any. I am not sure.
So then you close the public hearing.
Okay, which would be item E?
Yes.
Perfect, thank you. Then I'm going to move to make a motion.
Tim.
Yes, sir.
Before you make the motion, I want to kind of go through the mechanics of this.
Perfect.
The ordinance proposed was designed to address the three fees for water, sewer, and solid waste. Those are sections 1, 2, and 5. Those are parts 1, 2, and 5 of section 3. So the motion is going to address section 1B, which are the special taxes for security and drainage, section 2, G and H, which again are for security and drainage, and then section 3, numbers 3 and number 4, and to be clear, not number 1, 2, or 5. Sections 4, 5, 6, and 7 remain as published. If this is approved, this is a first reading. There has to be 5 days between the first and second reading. So the second reading of the ordinance for security and drainage taxes, it'll be cleaned up by then, will take place on June 15th.
At our regular board meeting.
Those fees will take effect July 1
right.
of 2022. You got all that, Amelia?
Right here on the recorder.
Okay.
So if I understand it correctly, the amended ordinance for 02022-01 be section 3. The items would include section 3, item 1B, 2, G, and H, item 5, sections 3 and 4, and then items 4, 5, and 6, as published, would move forward.
I want to be clear, and I got Andrew here making sure I say it right. You're going to be approving section 1, item B, section 2, items G and H, section 3, items 3 and 4, sections 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Those are new numbers to me.
Mm-hmm. That's correct. And to confirm, the net effect of these changes is to excise all of the references to the fees and charges that were proposed and to only leave the drainage and security special taxes.
So I'm going to read it back to you in a second, Tom. Section 4. So I have section 1, 1B, section 2, G and H, section 3, 3 and 4, section 4 is where I'm stopping.
Section 5.
Okay.
Section 6 and section 7. So 4 through 7 are as is
okay.
in the published ordinance. And sections 1, 2, and 3, we have carved out
right.
any reference to water, sewer,
correct.
And solid waste.
Because fees. Those are reflective of measures J and K.
Correct.
Okay, perfect. All right, with that said, I'm going to make a motion for ordinance 02022-01 amended to affect section 1, 1B, section 2, G and H, section 3, 3 and 4, sections 4, 5, and 7.
6 and 7.
I'm sorry, 6 and 7. If I can have a second.
Second.
Thank you, Director Jacob.
We're going to have just a little bit, I'll open it up for discussion. Board members? Oh, geez, I got to look up more often. I don't recognize. Oh, Mr. Martell, how are you?
Good, 424.
First of all, I want to ask a question. When was the proposed budget completed and prepared? Because I haven't seen the 2021-22 budget reconciled, or maybe I've missed it. I've got this here.
Right, so...
Just took from the back?
Yeah. So when did...
Ask the question again, Mike.
So when did you guys... I didn't pay attention to the budget workshop that we normally have in CSD.
Right.
In my understanding, through comments from a lot of different people, there was always difficulties with the accounting process and a variety of other stuff. So I have... When was the budget, when you guys voted on a proposed budget for 22 and 23?
So you want to take it, Paula?
Yeah, I can. That was done on March 30th of 2022.
Okay. So, and you guys are very comfortable with the accounting process today, because I know you bought a brand new system and over the past, but the last year I've heard a lot of meetings that you guys are having very difficulties tracking the money and doing all kinds of other stuff. Is that all fixed? So you guys are very, very comfortable that your system in place is pure.
Well, I'll answer and then I'll kick it to staff. I'm not sure what the term pure is, and I'm not sure what the term comfortable is. We've identified numerous issues with the accounting system. Hence what I mean is we still have some audited years we have not closed the books on, because we're trying to validate exactly all the transactions. So the system you're talking about is starting to get into the implementation process. So we are not on a new system. We've upgraded what was left over from decades ago. So that being said, two issues. One, we still have unclosed fiscal years that we're working to close. Most recently just addressed that with staff with additional support. And then the other is we now understand more of the reserve requirements. And as somebody said, it appears that we're kicking it down the road on issues, and in fact we're not. We're bringing it forward, hence the budget with the reserve. So I don't know if that answers your question, but I'll turn it over to Director of Admin, who does the financing, if I miss something.
I think one of the key takeaways with the accounting issues that we've run into is that a lot of the things that we do are manual processes. There's a lot of workbooks, Excel spreadsheets that we do, because the system that we are currently using doesn't do fund accounting that you would see normally in a governmental system. Part of the issues that I've personally experienced with the system is that it doesn't talk to one another. The modules are separate, and so that requires several different transactions to capture things, but it's on the general ledger side, not necessarily the budgetary side.
I heard your presentation when you bought this new system, and mm-hmm. I understood that, I listened to it. One of the questions I asked before I get my final question is dealing with CalPERS employees. If you make any mistakes in your accounting process, they slap a fine on you mm-hmm. or a fee. So based on what I've heard from the last year conversation, has the district, have we received a lot of fines? Because if you make a mistake of like $2, they come back and I had lots of CalPERS employees. So where is the district when it deals with CalPERS? Because they have no tolerance for accounting errors whatsoever, being a CalPERS employee.
So I can say, yes, we have had four $200 fines.
Okay.
When I
excuse me
started reviewing PERS in August of 21, there were some significant errors that I caught and I rectified, and then I rectified them moving forward. Some of those reportable errors were primarily contributions. There were different types of adjustments that hadn't been made, or the adjustments had been done incorrectly when we had retro pay increases or we had pay increases. There were also things that we had reported twice. So we had included the certification pay for some of the operators in addition to a separate line item as a pay adjustment in the PERS reporting system. So there are some things that we needed to do, and I specifically did it myself. I took on that project because I didn't have the staff to do it. And I spent about 5 months working on that to get it cleaned up. So yes, there were fines. I am very well aware of that. We do pay our payments on time with them, and we have a new process in place so that those types of errors don't occur in the future.
So they haven't come down and do, because at a certain point, they send people down and they're they're going to jump into your stuff more than you ever anticipated.
Are you looking for a finder's fee here?
No, but that usually tells you if the county process. My point is I really truly believe you guys are trying to fix a few problems. I'm not sure I agree with
the process.
A little bit. So I know most of you personally, and I know you have no. You know, we may have a difference of opinion of how we got here or how we got there. But the only comment is it's obvious by the amount of participation that the community is saying that they don't agree with you. Is it wise to not take a pause, make sure you've got everything cleansed, clean, you're very comfortable that your processes, your systems are in place, you're very accurate, and you delay or make sure that that you guys are doing absolutely correct? Because I know everybody at this table relies on the side tables. That's why I asked the question about the subpoena. Because you guys are still, after a period of time, CalPERS is going to come in, especially when they talked about the taxes, the 218,
right,
and the other stuff. They're eventually, with this kind of protest, they're going to take it out of your hands if you guys are wrong or there's a challenge to it. Somebody from the state is going to come by here, and you guys are going to be working to 2 o'clock in the morning to provide information. I respect all you guys. I've been on that seat, but I just
understand.
I think you need to just make sure you're accurate. Thank you.
Sure. And if I can, for one moment, staff has been very aggressive, especially with CalPERS issue, because of the
because we don't want
the fine schedule, and most importantly, having payroll correct for the employees. What you just argued, Mike, and in all respect to a prior speaker that said we're so heavy in admin, we're not. It's a perception versus reality. So we own that as a board, and maybe that rests with the board president more than the others to make sure that the information gets out. But just in a matter of less than 15 minutes, we've gone from we're too heavy in admin to where we don't have staff that adequately can be proactive versus we're here. You're a prior board member. We have prior board members that are on this board. We are in this situation. We identified good, bad, or different from the director of operations that we are in a terrible spot for reserves. This board made a decision to move forward with it. Community said we were a little aggressive. We all pay the same taxes here in the community, so it's not like we're not paying it, but at the end of the day, we hear what you're saying, specifically to the CalPERS, but it's one of those, the current process is staff is going to continue on. We are identifying staff to close those audited years because we have to. By statute, and at the end of the day, we still have to move forward, and we're actually going to have two operating budgets. We're going to have the close of this fiscal, which is going to continue because of the Prop 218 limit that has been identified, and then we've got to identify the new budget moving forward into the new fiscal year. So we have our hands full. The pause you're talking about is what was identified here, and we understand that.
I'm worried that CalPERS is coming in.
You know, took the water glass,
that kind of response from the community. I definitely, that's why I asked you if you were fine, because I'm sure they got you on a list of previous things. And when you start getting this pushback, they're going to take a look at something.
Well, and again, at the end of the day, it's twofold. The fiduciary responsibility that this board has, i.e., we know that we're upside down on the $55 million of what we have in reserves. And the other is we cannot take a chance with our employees and their paychecks and their retirement. That just, irrespective whether we have people that want them or not, we have them. We have to do our fiduciary responsibility. So you're spot on, Mike.
Thanks, sir.
All right, thank you, sir. Did we get a second?
Mr.
Yes.
Janko.
Mr. Janko.
Seconded.
Okay. Any other comments? Fourth. Is my time up? I mean, that's more than okay.
A long time ago.
Well, I see why he seconded it. Amelia, can we have a roll call vote, please?
President Mabee.
Aye.
Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Aye.
Director Merchant.
Yes.
Director Paul.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amelia.
Kim, before we proceed.
I have a comment. I was so wrapped up in Ryan and his resolution that I don't think we had a motion, a second, or a roll call vote to adopt the resolution honoring Ryan Wanker.
So do we have to give him anything?
Well, we have to give him the resolution.
Okay.
I'd say that's the president's fault.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
Not pointing fingers.
No, and I appreciate that.
If it's not a bother, though, I would like to go
Vice
back
president.
And...
Item number five, if we
yes.
can...
I'll move that we adopt the resolution as printed.
I'll second it. Amelia,
thank
roll
you,
call vote.
Director Merchant and Director Mabee. Roll call vote, Director Mabee.
Aye.
Director Janko.
Aye.
Director Butler.
Yes.
Director Merchant.
Yes.
Director Paul.
Aye.
Thank you.
Amelia, good catch. Thank you for that. Was that your...
Yeah, that's exactly
that's
right.
Item number eight, I'll work my way across the board. Director Pohl, comments, suggestions?
No, I don't have any.
Director Merchant?
No.
Director Butler?
I'm okay.
Director Janko?
Only to say that I appreciate all the effort that staff, particularly Tom and Paula and Amelia, have put into this budget and the process, and continued thanks for what you're going to have to do now to switch gears and do all that work over again. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Randy. You've heard me say it, and I'll say it again. Thank you. Please go back to your staff. Tell them that the negative comments, the personal attacks, they should be directed at the board, not your employees. And I just encourage you to let your employees know, and Ryan, and I'll pick on Ed, they do the right thing. And so they just happen to be caught because I saw it. So at the end of the day, it happens all the time. I get the community supports them. Right now it's an issue really with the board in how we get revenues so you folks can do your jobs in the reserves, and we can move a couple years down the road as opposed to every budget cycle. It's a crisis, and the board's still committed to that. So Tom, you've got direction from us, so we'll move forward. The only thing I'll close out is, and I don't know where the two ladies are, we'll circle back around on the letter issue as we go to close out so that we can reconcile and get all that done. So past that, that's all I have. I'm going to make a motion moving to item number 9 for adjournment. Can I have a second?
Second. Is that Director Butler?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Roll call vote. Director Mabee.
Aye.
Director Merchant?
Yes.
Director Jacob?
Aye.
Director Butler?
Yes.
Director Paul?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amelia. Thank you, everyone, for showing up.